It's The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega. President Trump has attacked the press as a core element of his administration, dismissing critical coverage as, quote, fake news, and insulting journalists and outlets at every turn.
These are just dishonest, terrible people. I'm telling you that. Terrible.
I called the fake news the enemy of the people, and they are.
You've set a new bar today for being contentious with the press corps, kind of calling us losers to our faces and all that.
No, not all of you, just many of you.
All right, fine. Can you give us a question?
I'm not going to give you a question.
Can you stay categorical?
You are fake news.
Not only fake, it's corrupt.
This past weekend, in a video that was played for supporters at a conference at Trump's Miami resort, the president's face is superimposed on a body of a man who is shown brutally assaulting journalists, politicians, and activists in the so-called Church of Fake News. In response, the White House press secretary tweeted Monday that the president hadn't yet seen the video, but, quote, strongly condemns it. In the United States, the media environment has changed drastically over the past several years, and a few high-profile events have left many journalists with a sense of unease. Last year, 5 employees of the Capital Gazette in Maryland were killed when a gunman entered their office and opened fire. And we also just marked 1 year since journalist Jamal Khashoggi was tortured and killed by Saudi officials in Turkey. Earlier this month, we spoke with Jason Rezaian, a colleague of Khashoggi's, who said he's alarmed by the Trump administration's reluctance to condemn the Saudi government for Khashoggi's killing.
For the first time in my life, I don't feel particularly safe working here in the United States. And it's not because of any imminent threat that I face, but being in the country, in the city, where we are supposed to uphold the First Amendment more vocally and staunchly than anywhere else in the world, we're hearing crickets right now.
Joining me now is Joel Simon, Executive Director of the Committee to Protect Journalists, and Olivia Nuzzi, Washington Correspondent for New York Magazine. Thanks to you both for being with us.
Thank you. Great to be on.
Olivia, when you saw the initial, what was your initial reaction when you saw the video that was played at Trump's Florida resort?
I was sickened by it. I think it's one of the more explicit, gruesome reflections of the president's anti-media rhetoric to emerge in the last 2-3 years. And for me, it was something sort of snapped. You know, I'm used to hearing about the fake news. I'm used to having contentious interactions with, if not the president, then his allies, his staffers, people in the administration, his supporters. But to see something depicted in an almost silly way that's so serious, when, as you already said, there was a shooting in a newsroom a year ago, there are mass shootings on what feels like a daily basis in America, it just felt like beyond anything I had seen before.
Joel, you're nodding your head to Olivia's reaction here. I mean, where does this video fit into the president's overall relationship with the press? And we should be clear that the president has, at least through his White House press secretary, said that he condemns the video and that he hadn't seen it yet. But this was also created by his supporters.
Yeah. Well, first of all, it is my job. I'm on the Committee to Protect Journalists to condemn this kind of disgusting, horrific video that depicts violence against journalists. There's nothing funny about it. At the same time, we have to recognize that it's a deliberate provocation. And this is a pattern that we've observed from President Trump and his supporters. So whenever we engage in condemnations of these kinds of videos, in some ways we're changing the subject. In some ways we're allowing the people who are producing these kinds of videos, or the president himself, when he uses this kind of anti-media rhetoric, to change the subject. And so we have to ask ourselves why. Why is this a moment when somebody might want to change the subject? Well, we can look at, you know, what's happening in Washington, what's happening in Syria, the criticism the president is facing in the media. That is vital. It's vitally important that we stay focused on the big stories. We have to condemn this horrific video, which is really a reflection of the kinds of attitudes that many of Trump supporters, the kind of attitudes they have towards the media. At the same time, we have to have the awareness to recognize what this is and to recognize that we're being goaded.
As a journalist, Olivia, is your job harder right now? And what I mean by that is, are you concerned for your physical and personal safety, or is it just harder to grapple with an administration that's as contentious as this one is towards the press?
I don't think you can have that conversation without talking about your individual privilege, right? I am a white woman attending these events. I am in no way in the same amount of potential danger as a reporter of color. I've only felt unsafe at a handful of events before, and I can't imagine what it would be like going into a Trump rally feeling as though the crowd hated me. I'd say it's more of a distraction. You'll be having an interview with somebody and you're trying to get an answer, get some insights, and often the conversation is derailed by them attacking the media and mimicking the president. And I think they do that because of the audience of one theory, that they know that the president will see it, he'll read it. And they also do it, I think, because they believe it themselves, or they've at least convinced themselves that they believe it.
Joel, I want to get in deeper into this discussion about being distracted. I'm curious to know what, number one, what are we being distracted from? And number two, to Olivia's point, you know, you're trying to do an interview about policy. You're trying to do an interview about, you know, the latest executive order. And as a journalist, you've got a couple of minutes, an hour, whatever it is, a short amount of time to get these answers. And you're being, the conversation's being taken over by talking points. So A, what are we being distracted from? B, what is our job to, you know, how are we supposed to manage that?
Well, first of all, President Trump actually said to Leslie Stahl in an interview, she asked him, why you always attack the media? And she said, so when you criticize me, nobody will believe you. So he's claimed, you know, to the extent we take him at his word on something like this, that this is a deliberate strategy. So it's made life more difficult. But I do think there's an where it's really made life difficult is not in this country. That's something that people need to understand. There's a lot of amazing accountability journalism happening. There's a lot of journalists who are unafraid, who are really taking on Trump and doing really top-rate critical reporting. Where this kind of rhetoric is immensely damaging is outside this country, because it's giving solace and succor to tyrants and dictators around the world who are cracking down on the media, who are invoking fake news as the rationale for these crackdowns, who are actually passing laws criminalizing fake news. The Khashoggi murder, the response of the Trump administration to that horrific crime, the indifference that it showed, has given green light to those who use violence around the world to intimidate journalists. So I do think it's having a tremendous impact in terms of the global press freedom environment.
Olivia, I want to talk about the strategy here. And often we see this with, I think most famously, Jim Acosta from CNN and the president. We also saw it recently with Reuters reporter Jeff Mason and the president in a press conference with the Finnish president the other day. I mean, is this, should reporters be more cautious? Should they be more confrontational? How do reporters respond to these direct and aggressive remarks from the president?
I think you have to take it on a case-by-case basis. I think sometimes it is worth responding to the president or really saying, you know, what do you mean by that? I think it's better to try and get him on the record explaining why he speaks the way that he speaks, and if he understands the stakes, if he understands the implication of referring to the media in the terms that he does, as we were just talking about, what the implications are globally. But I think oftentimes it's also a distraction, and it derails a press conference. It allows the president to change the topic, and we might be better served by just putting our heads down and asking questions about the news of the day.
I couldn't agree more. And I think that there are three basic impulses. You know, one is he's just exploiting antipathy towards the media that just sort of rallies his base. The second is that he's genuinely annoyed and upset by this kind of critical coverage. And the third is, I think, you know, he does believe, and it's just his modus operandi, that you go full guns blazing after your enemies. And he considers the media to be an enemy. So,
But at the same time, he does love the press.
Oh, well,
he loves attention.
Absolutely.
He loves individual reporters, even if he does genuinely get frustrated. I don't think it's all phony. I think he clearly does. I know that he does. We all know that he does get angry at the press. But at the same time, sometimes I get the sense when he is attacking a reporter that I know that he is fond of, there's sort of this sick projection at play too with him that I think is a part of all of this.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. And I have a lot of conversations with reporters who covered the Obama administration and actually found it more difficult and frustrating because, first of all, there was a very aggressive policy towards leakers and a very active protocols in place to limit leaks. And there was a certain amount of discipline in the White House, and there wasn't as much leaking. And that was frustrating.
Right.
And second of all, Obama did something that journalists really hate, which is he ignored them. You know, and Trump doesn't ignore right. you. So it's a more complicated dynamic. And that's why I think whenever we talk about the impact of Trump's rhetoric in a domestic context, where the argument I think is much more straightforward, and which is why I try to steer it towards that, is the impact this is having outside the United States.
I'm glad Joel, I'm glad yeah. you raised the Obama administration, because I recall when Obama was in office and the difficulties that a lot of reporters yeah. had in trying to get information, yeah, even though there was a war room per se, there yeah. were regular press briefings. Yeah. But I want to point this out. A few days yeah. ago, a local reporter in Nashville asked Secretary of State Mike Pompeo
yeah,
a series
that.
Of questions on yeah. Ukraine. I'm yeah. sure you yeah. both saw that. He responded by accusing her of working for the Democratic National Committee. And she asked him, and she repeated the yeah. question about three times. You yeah. know, what do you do with that, Joel?
I think that's more of a question for Olivia. I'll just say I was impressed with the fact that she seemed not to be thrown off her game.
Olivia, to that point, first of all, what should she, that reporter, have done? Or you know, how do
I thought she handled it in a completely professional and admirable way. I thought it was kind of a masterclass in what you ought to do in that situation. It's a bit different on camera. It's sometimes harder when you're doing a print interview or when you're not being seen to keep things on track because no one is watching it go off the rails. For the administration, you know, I mean, we see this all the time. If you see like Stephen Miller doing yeah. CNN or something like that, where he agrees to go on the show, or any of those officials agree to go on a show, and they eat up the time, or Kellyanne Conway, but Chris Cuomo, they eat up the time by fighting. And no important questions are, you know, answered. We get no insight into anything other than the character of the people in the administration. And I do think that there is value to that. I think there's always value in having administration officials on the record, you know, in front of the world. I think the alternative is allowing them to operate in the shadows.
And which we've seen. I mean, we haven't had yeah. a press briefing in the yeah. White House in more than 200 days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Joel, does that matter?
It matters in some ways. I think it doesn't matter terribly in terms of, you know, is there some essential bit of news and information that we're not getting because there are no White House press briefings? Probably not. I don't think news has been made in White House press briefings for a long time. Here's where it matters. And again, I always put this in a global context. It's a bit of theater. Okay? And in that theater, what happens is journalists ask these aggressive probing questions of officials and try and hold them accountable, and they squirm away. Well, that image actually has some value in terms of, you know, the American public just seeing journalists work in that way, and around the world. It just, you know, this it's a pretty rare thing where, you know, journalists are asking these kinds of aggressive questions and officials are sort of squirming and trying to respond. So, you know, that bit of theater had some value, and I think it's unfortunate that we don't have that. In terms of the news value, I think it's pretty limited.
Olivia Nuzzi is Washington correspondent for New York Magazine, and Joel Simon is the executive director of the Committee to Protect Journalists. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.